This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Spike because of it. My buddy Danny Reed, play-by-play voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles radio network. Danny, good morning. How you doing?
Oh, well, Barry. Good to talk to you, man.
We've got a lot to get to here, and of course, one of the angles of interest here, Georgia Southern opens up the year at Auburn on September the 2nd. After last year, a bit of a surprise at 5-7, what has the offseason been like for the Eagles football program, Danny?
The offseason has consisted of convincing people that the option has not gone away and the option is still a part of the Eagle football fabric. Now, granted, when Tyson Summers was hired back in December of 2015, he said that the team would keep its principles with the gun option, but the hires that ended up being made weren't conducive towards that, and I think it was more of a filling out process over the course of 12 games. It was more or less square peg, round hole. Even in the finale, it did come together a little bit on Senior Day, which unfortunately came at the expense of Troy.
Yeah.
But it was sorry about that.
It was more or less
just trying to make something work that just really couldn't get going, even after a 3-0 start. And you could kind of see the signs that maybe this wasn't going to be the kind of season that Eagle fans were hoping for. But third down defense was phenomenal. The Eagles were excellent on special teams, but just could not establish much consistency with that ground game after those first three wins.
It's interesting because the legacy had always been the triple option, and we can name some of the names. Adrian Peterson was great. Tracy Ham back in the day was great running that option for Irk Russell. And when Tyson Summers got the job after Willie Fritz went to Tulane, he thought he could get away from it, and there's a lot of good backs and stuff, but I didn't think that just the personnel suited a move away, even a slight move away from that type of an offense.
What I think that he wanted to do, I think that there was always the idea to create explosive plays in the passing game. It was always this idea that the running game is always going to be a part of Georgia Southern football. Led to 6 national championships during 1AA. It helped the transition to the FBS be as smooth as possible, going 8-0 in the Sun Belt. But it's always the concern to try to find ways to make explosive plays when teams would be able to stop the running game. You always wanted to think that maybe we need to do a little bit more with the passing game. And even with the hires that have been made to get back to those option principles with offensive coordinator Brian Cook coming over after several years under Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech, he has said that he wants his quarterback ideally to be able to run for 100 every game,
yeah,
and then throw for 200. And then you would think that for a good offense, you would see somewhere between 450, 500 yards a game. So you would think that the running backs, whoever the stable would be, would account for the other 200 yards. So that's a heck of a balanced out act if you want to get everybody involved. But he wants his quarterback to be able to throw, but he also has to be able to run and keep those principles in line.
Danny Reed is with us, voice of Georgia Southern football. They come to Auburn Saturday, September 2nd. Non-conference schedule, Auburn, New Hampshire, at Indiana, at UMass, and it begins at Auburn. Georgia Southern has had success going to venues in the Southeastern Conference and taking away W's. Well, what's your initial gut appraisal of this Auburn game, September 2nd?
I think you're going to see two competing sets of ideals. One, how is Georgia Southern going to reestablish itself on offense, and how is that young defense going to be able to show itself in front of roughly 90,000 people on September 2nd? But also, I'm expecting Auburn to be really good. That's going to be a really good team. I think Jared Stidham will step in as the starting quarterback this year after transferring from McLennan by way of Auburn. I think that even though they lost 4 all-conference guys on defense, including an All-American up front and Carl Lawson, I still think that it's going to be a very good team. And according to various rankings, I think ESPN has them as the only team in the country in the preseason top 10 in offense, defense, and special teams. I think they believe it's going to be a big year for them. When the preseason polls come out, I'm pretty sure they're going to be a top 10 team. But for whatever reason, Georgia Southern has put a scare into some SEC teams over the years, beating Florida in 2013. Probably should have beat Georgia in 2015, if you want to be quite frank. And then in 2016, a double-digit first half lead against Ole Miss, only to see their passing game take over in that second quarter. And even though the Eagles tried to rally late, They just couldn't finish that off. But for whatever reason, the SEC, Georgia Southern has had its share of success, and maybe they'll be able to do it again to open the season.
Yeah, that Ole Miss game was also the one where Chad Kelly went out, and Georgia Southern made a big run at that near the end and came up short. Danny, let's talk a little bit about the evolution of the program. And you have to qualify that by, again, like you mentioned, hyper-successful in 1AA football. What led to the decision to move up in classification? And in your estimation, has that move paid the dividends that they hoped it would to this point?
I think that the success that has been had since 2014 is beyond anybody's wildest dreams. To be able to go 8-0 in conference play, even though team was not eligible for postseason play, to be able to set that kind of tone for a team that was picked near the bottom of the conference, and then to come out and nearly beat NC State in the season opener, then nearly beat Georgia Tech. That was a team that could have very easily gone 11-1 if not for a couple of bounces of football, but going 8-0 in conference play to start off, 2015 winning 9 more games, winning the first ever bowl game, going to the GoDaddy Bowl, now the Dollar General Bowl down in Mobile. But I think that they realized that while the success at 1AA/FCS was tremendous, taking those 6 national championships between 1985 and 2000, it was a sense that they had done what they could do, and when they thought about the feasibility study to move up and make a whole lot more money and put this program in position to make even more of a cash flow, I think that was just too attractive. And then you see the development of the Ted Smith Family Football Center on the right side hill of Paulson Stadium, where a scoreboard once existed. You've seen the turf laid down. The stadium has expanded by nearly 10,000 seats. It's all happened in a very, very short amount of time. And I think when you go back over the history, when we talk about this 15, 20 years from now, you're going to see that 2016 was just a little bit of a blip. It was only the 4th losing season in modern era since it came back in 1982. But I just think that what Georgia Southern recognized about itself is that through football, that they can make a lot more hay by going to the FBS. And even the other programs have been able to follow suit. We've seen success in men's basketball, women's basketball. The tennis programs have been excellent, golf programs, rifle programs. So even though football has been the focal point for this move, you've seen a lot more of the athletic programs at Georgia Southern experience success despite moving up in conference and moving up a level like they have.
Okay, let's talk about recruiting football to Georgia Southern for just a minute. The offense you just described says that you need a quarterback who's got a live arm, who can make touch throws, deep throws, that kind of thing. But he's also got to be the kind of banger that is willing to get up in the line on the option, take on a linebacker, just lower his shoulder and hit somebody. Here's my question. Does the fact that so many of the so-called big boys, Auburn runs this kind of offense, a lot of teams are running an offense where you need a running quarterback, does the fact that the so-called big boys are moving to those kinds of offenses make it more difficult for a school like Georgia Southern to get the guy that it wants?
I don't necessarily think that's the case. It all comes back to, you need to find someone that fits your skill set, and you mentioned it, that so many teams now are going to this gun straight run, whether you want to call it a zone read or a triple option base, with trying to get as many plays in as possible and not necessarily worry about time of possession. Everybody's going up tempo. Everybody's trying to put their version of the wheel out to the field, whether that means that the spokes are a little bit shorter or the wheel's a little bit smaller. Everybody's trying to do their version of the same thing. And for Georgia Southern, it's going to have more of an option base to it. I think that we'll see a little bit of both the under center, true flex bone, and the shotgun, maybe even a little bit of the pistol. I think that seeing Brian Cook's offense during spring ball, that was just a taste of what we're going to see in 2017 and beyond. But Georgia, as we know, Alabama, as we know, two states that are absolutely flooded with talent, and you need to find a way to keep that talent in state. And Georgia Southern has done exceptionally well over the course of its history to make sure the talent doesn't leave this state. And the fact that they have moved up to the FBS means that they're directly competing with Georgia and Georgia Tech. Let's not be foolish and say that Georgia Southern is going to steal a 5-star prospect. that's going to be a once every 15, 20-year kind of deal. In fact, they've only had one four-star in history, and he'll likely be a starter at wide receiver in Darion Anderson coming out of Warner Robins. But Georgia Southern always needs to look at players that can fit their specific system. Now, the guy that takes the snaps this year is either going to be a sophomore who went out of a passing attack primarily last year, and Seth Schumann, who's also a phenomenal baseball player,
yeah.
Or it's probably going to be Shy Wirtz, who redshirted last year, has not taken a college snap, but he appears very geared to run a system just like this. He ran something like this in high school up in South Carolina. But I think if you can find a balance between those two, Georgia Southern is going to have to throw the ball a little bit. The days of running for 700 yards per game, I don't think exist anymore. You right. have to be able to throw yeah. at least a little bit. So I think that with Wirtz and with Schumann, you can find some kind of balance and make sure that the Eagles are maximizing what they can do on offense.
Gosh, you got so many questions to ask. But if so many of our fans, of course, Troy fans and Sun Belt Conference fans, and they're interested in the schedule. We mentioned the non-conference schedule. I guess for Georgia Southern, Danny, the good news is you don't have maybe the bad news, you don't have ULM on the schedule. You don't have Texas State on the schedule this year. And two of the teams that you're going to be competing with at the top of the league are both on the road, with Troy on the road late October, and then to Appalachian State. Your knee-jerk reaction to the schedule as it's presented to you?
The schedule is always what it is. I think compared to last year, having seven road games and having four consecutive away from home, I think it was 40 days between home games and almost 3 months between Saturday home games. It was the most trying that I think Georgia Southern has ever had to go through. We were conjecturing before the season, well, we think this is going to be a winning team with everything that came back, but I don't think we took into account just how much all that travel was going to build up on these guys. You had seven losses in eight games after that 3-0 start, and I think I think the travel had a lot to do with it. And even this year, when you mentioned it with non-conference, it'll be a bus trip to Auburn, but it's going to be a flight up to Boston to play UMass. It's going to be a flight to Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. You get New Hampshire coming to you at Paulson Stadium. But I think for Georgia Southern, it's reasonable to think that this could be a winning season because you're getting back to the option. Granted, a road trip to Troy is not going to be an easy game by any stretch, and especially on a Thursday night up in Boone, which is a rivalry. It's been a rivalry since the two combined for 9-1-AA and FCS national championships. Boone will be absolutely rocking on that Thursday night in November, which means we'll probably need a couple of extra layers. But I think that for Georgia Southern, a winning season should be something that's certainly feasible. And I think that because you've got, even though you lost 24 seniors, the framework of the defense and the offensive line returns nearly in full. You do lose Andy Kwan up front as an all-conference center. But these guys now know what it's like to have to play seven road games in a season. They're going to have to do it again this year. Only one midweek home game. That's going to be against Arkansas State on a Wednesday night, first ever Wednesday home game in the history of Paulson Stadium. But I think these guys now see they don't have to go four consecutive on the road anymore. They do have to play seven on the road, but they know how they need to condition themselves. They're going to get a bye week early in the season instead of having to wait all the way to the end of the season to get the bye week. So I think this schedule is much more beneficial to Georgia Southern's mental and physical readiness. And I think for Eagle Nation, I think a winning season is something that they need, and I think a bowl game is something that they need to feel like the program is getting right back on track.
Danny alludes to that Arkansas State game. It's on a Wednesday, October 4th on ESPN2. That game at Appalachian State in the second weekend in November is a Thursday start on ESPNU. But two trips to the state of Alabama: at Troy Saturday, October 28th, at Auburn to open on September the 2nd. We certainly will look forward to you for that Troy game, Danny. That should be for a great deal of importance, and we look forward to that then. Thank you for the time.
You got it, Barry.
Danny,